This is Rough Injustice, the story of the 1976 New England Patriots on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was very optimistic going into 76 because 75, Steve Grogan was drafted, and Jim Plunkett got hurt, and Jim was traded to San Francisco, and we got one first-round draft choice, which, you know, we got Mike Haynes from, who was a great player, immediate impact for us. Russ Francis was his second year now. He's a rookie in 75. He's a great talent, great player. You know, we had so many injuries, and especially to key positions, that I thought we would be a really tough team coming back in 76. And the left side of the line with Leon Gray and John Hanna and Russ, you know, was the best in pro football. So, and Sam Cunningham was a great running back. And, you know, I knew we were going to be a good team.
Not a lot of people outside the Patriots locker room agreed with Steve Nelson's assessment as the 1976 season got underway. The smallest regular season crowd in Schaefer Stadium history was on hand as the Patriots dropped their opener, 27-13, to Burt Jones and the Baltimore Colts. It was a measure of where the Pats stood in the Boston sports landscape when the Globe's Ray Fitzgerald compared them unfavorably to the Boston College Eagles, who had upset Texas the day before, calling the local pro team the ragged urchins of the National Football League. Following on the heels of the 3-11 disaster of the season before, Jonathan Kraft was afraid of what would lie ahead.
The funny thing was, opening day, we remember driving home. I remember driving home. I don't know if anyone else does, and thinking, oh, because the Colts were in our division and they crushed us and we're coming off a 3-11 season and you think it's going to happen all over again.
Lost in the despair of the opener was a promising number, 149. That was the number of yards the Patriots ran for, with Sam Cunningham and Andy Johnson both exceeding 50. Maybe more important was the number of attempts, 37, as compared to 22 passes for Grogan. To Ron Hobson, it was clear early on that this team would go as far as its ground game would take it.
Leon Gray and Hanna were a terrific duo. The only other line kind of combination that had that devastating abilities was the St. Louis Cardinals. They had Dobler and Deardorff. That was a very immense, powerful running attack. The Patriots, it wasn't a secret they were coming that way. Yeah, Don Calhoun and Cunningham, and they'd go that way, and there's nothing anyone could do about it.
I think that was the second or third year that Leon and I were playing next to each other. You know, we'd kind of matured, and, you know, our offensive line, you know, it takes a long time for an offensive line to gel and to get its timing down and to understand each other and kind of work together as a unit. It was just, we were firing on all, you know, six cylinders, and I think everybody just, you know, we had confidence in each other, and we were excited about it.
It didn't take long for John Hanna and the offensive line to see the strategy pay off.
The give to Owen. Grogan play action fake. Bootlegging left. Going to keep it and go at the 20, 25, 30. Grogan spinning out to the 37-yard line. The handoff to Cunningham turning right. Inside the 5 and down to the 3. Sam Cunningham. Grogan play action fake. Rolls to his right. Rolling, looking, now going to run inside the 10. Grogan inside the 5, and he's going to go in. Touchdown! Great run, Steve Grogan.
You know, that offensive line was great that year, and I'm sure the coaches knew we had to run the ball to take pressure off of me. I'm a young quarterback that's bound to make some mistakes, so the more we ran it, the better off we were.
Steve Grogan's offense ran for a near team record 278 yards against Miami in Week 2. As for mistakes, they were all made by the Dolphins defender.
All right, it is 3rd and 8 for the Pats with Johnson in the right slot, Stingley wide to the right, Briscoe wide to the left, back to passes, Grogan. Good protection.
Oh, Andy's wide open.
Wide open, Andy Johnson, he's in for a touchdown. Johnson in the left slot, Francis in the right slot, back to pass, Grogan. Fires over the middle, and it's complete to Andy Johnson at the 10, at the 5, and he's going to go in. A touchdown. 23-yard touchdown pass, Steve Grogan. Just fired a bullet to Andy Johnson, flying out of the left slot.
Grogan, play action. Back to pass, rolls to his right, fires, touchdown, Russ Francis.
I tell you, Grogan threaded a needle on that one. He just fired a bullseye between two defenders to Russ Francis. And that mounts it up to 29-14.
The Miami Dolphins were a team that when they came up to Foxborough, you know, they very rarely won, and you know, we never won when we went to the Orange Bowl. So I think we had a lot of confidence playing them up early. We knew we had to get off to a big start, and we knew that it was critical that we beat Miami at home because of our problems beating them on the road. So that early in the season, that became such a critical game for us. And it was a 14-game schedule. It wasn't a 16-game schedule. And it was each game was just a little more important, and that game was huge.
30-14 was the final. And Nelson was quoted after the game as saying the Pats had outplayed and outcoached Miami, and that the win was no fluke.
Looking back, I wish I hadn't said a lot of things that I said. But it was, you know, I probably said exactly how I felt, you know, that, you know, it didn't matter if they had Zonka and Bob Greasy and Paul Warfield and Mercury Morris and all those guys, Larry Little, Kuchenberg, you know, we beat them. You know, we weren't afraid of anybody. And it was good to whoop them and to realize that, you know, we beat them. And it wasn't a fluke. And that, you know, we could play with them.
Bradshaw has his glove set. Fire and Harris behind him. Going to throw. He's a one. Touchdown.
Next up, the two-time defending champs on their home turf. The Pittsburgh Steelers were a 17-point favorite heading into their Week 3 matchup with the 1-1 Patriots. Russ Francis knew what they were up against.
I was really looking forward to that game, and I knew that we were going to have to play our best. Jack Ham, one of the greatest outside linebackers of all time, just a really smart guy. L.C. Greenwood, Ernie Holmes, Dwight White, Blount and all the other guys in the secondary. When we went out to play them, Coach Fairbanks that week, aside from installing the game plan, he said there's only one thing we're going to have to do to beat this team, play error-free, a perfect game of football.
The first half was anything but, according to Grogan.
Yeah, somebody sent me a tape of that a few years ago, of that game, and I watched it, and Terry Bradshaw and I were absolutely horrible in the first half. I think he fumbled three or four times, and I threw a couple picks.
After a Franco Harris touchdown run early in the third quarter, Pittsburgh held a 20-9 lead.
And then the second half, we kind of got it rolling offensively, and the defense had kept us in the game until that point.
Fourth down and two, they're going to go for it at the Pittsburgh 38. Double tight end for the Patriots, Stingley on the left wing. Stingley goes in motion to the right side. Grogan is back to pass. Looking, his man is open. Wide open, Francis. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Plus Francis.
I don't think I was the primary guy. I think I was supposed to go deep and push him back cover two, you know, with the two safeties and the corners up. I'm bumping around five guys underneath the linebackers and all that good stuff. And he just looked away. Next thing I know, the ball's in the air. And Steve used to laugh. He said, you know, you should see the look on your face when that ball came your direction. It was like, golly, here comes the football.
Play action fake by Grogan on first down. He's back to pass. He lets it go long and deep. Darryl Stingley is there. He's got it. He's going to go down and in. A touchdown.
Wow.
Darryl Stingley hauls in a 59-yard pass from Steve Grogan. And the Patriots have taken the lead.
First and 10 Pats at the Pittsburgh 6. Double tight end. Stingley on the right wing. Grogan calling signals. Grogan rolls to his right, looking in the end zone. He's going to carry it. He's down inside the five. He's on his feet. He's in for a touchdown. Grogan snuck right under the hit and went in for a touchdown.
New England led 30-27, with time winding down.
All right. We're down to the finale. Maybe. 3 seconds left. Girella to try a 48-yard field goal for Pittsburgh. He sets. The kick is up. And it is... no good! It is no good! The Patriots beat the Steelers 30-27!
I still remember looking at the field goal when they drove down into field goal range and tried the field goal for the winning field goal, and no one rushed to kick. We all just kind of took a step and turned around and watched. And the ball kind of just drifted off and didn't go in, and we were all just happy as hell.
Ray Hamilton felt like they had dodged a bullet. And Mike Haynes agreed.
I thought the victory was really important, but I also had a sense in that game that if the game was another 10 minutes, we might not have won. It wasn't like we just trounced them. It was almost like they were asleep. And then in the last part of the game, I go, golly, man, if we don't get our act together, we're going to lose this game. And they just started playing at another level. And I got a chance to see right then, wow, now I know what a championship team looks like.
We were behind in that game, and we came back and won the game. We thought that was a very, very huge boost of confidence. We had heard also that Chuck Knoll told Fairbanks that we had a very good team and for our guys to be proud of what they're doing and that we were on our way to being a very, very outstanding team.
It was a huge victory. I remember getting dressed. I was in the shower area combing my hair, and Mr. Sullivan handed me a cigar that old man Rooney had given him as a congratulatory you know, well job, well done kind of thing. And Mr. Sullivan gave that cigar to me, and I still have it in my office at home. So that was a pretty special game. It really was.
In fact, Billy Sullivan called it the most important win in the team's history. His son Patrick agreed.
At that point in time, that was the greatest win in the franchise's history because, you know, they were a Super Bowl team and they were stocked with great players. You know, we were very young and, you know, we had an upstart kind of team. I remember B. Brock telling me that Grogan leaned over one time and Jack Lambert was talking trash to him and Grogan just said something back to him I don't recall exactly what he did, but Pete said to me, you know, the guy that took that took the punishment for that was me, not Steve, right? But, you know, that was the kind of upstart mentality that guys, you know, Grogan's, and to this day, Steve Grogan's an exceptionally competitive guy. John Hanna's incredibly competitive. So all of a sudden, you had these guys that are 2-3 years in the league, and they're like, hey, you know, we can compete with these guys. They put their pants on the same way we do, and, you know, we're not going to get bounced around psychically by coming in and saying, oh, my God, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that was a key.
The real big difference between the week before against Miami, we were on the road. And Pittsburgh was a team, obviously, with the skill, you know, the steel curtain and all that stuff that was going to be a team at the end of the season that you knew you had to play in the playoffs. And it was a big game. It was a big game. And, you know, remember certain plays from each game. And the one play I remember about that is we had the lead. And, you know, at that time, substitution wasn't as big as it is now. There wasn't a lot of these packages, you know, these dime packages and nickel packages and whatever. So we had to kind of prevent defense, and we had to have Randy Vataha play one of the safeties. So Randy's back there about 15 yards, and the ball snapped, and I'm watching him, and he backpedals about 4 steps, and he's a wide receiver. He falls down. You know, like, oh, you know, this is brilliant. You know, I get a wide receiver who never runs backwards. He runs forward all the time, you know. So, but anyway, we hung in there. And again, it was something special because it was a young team made up of players who hadn't had a lot of success together, all of a sudden winning big games. And you really feel it.
We were looking at the schedule, and those three games were very big games, we thought, in our minds, because we were a young team and we thought we had a chance to win all those games. We beat Miami and then we beat Pittsburgh. We were very confident going into the Raiders game, without a doubt.
The final game of the season opening gauntlet for Steve Nelson, Ray Hamilton, and the Pats, the Oakland Raiders.
Branch left, Biletnikoff right, first down, Stabler back. He looks, he fires to Biletnikoff on the 1 yard line, a skidding catch. He's got it. Hand off to Vanacek, he powers over, touchdown Raiders. Intercepted by the Oakland Raiders. Willie Brown at the 30, 40, 50. He's going all the way.
We were good. We knew we were good. We had the same guys back. The age was perfect. You know what I mean? Like, the guys that mattered were, you know, fifth year to eighth year, you know. So we had some real good pros, and then we had some older guys like Jim Otto, and everything was perfect.
Phil Villapiano played linebacker for that Oakland team.
I remember, Matt, at the beginning of the 76 season, you know, we had a team meeting, and he goes, guys, look, we are not going to fake anybody. We're not going to do anything different. We're going to line up, and we're going to throw the ball down the field, and we're going to play great defense. We're going to play cover one and cover three, and we're going to tell them what we're doing. We're not going to give a shit, and we're going to beat them.
Well, I think some of our players were still in their peak. We had some new guys come in, and we had a pretty good offense, and the defense got better and better. You know, Hendricks was his second year with us. We made some trades, and Matusak was able to store up the defense a little bit. Sistrunk made some moves to playing, you know, different position to allow us to, and we just played a good fundamental defense, and we were able to outscore our opponents. I don't think we weren't like the Steelers were a dominant defensive team, and we usually could score 28 points or so. If our defense could hold them to, you know, 25, we won. And we got to be a generally good team. We were simple, fundamentally taught well. A lot different than what people thought we were. They thought we were crazy, but we were a simple, fundamental power football team that was well coached.
Dave Casper was one of the NFL's best tight ends in his first season as the starter for John Madden's club. Those Raiders had a reputation as a sort of an outlaw outfit. That was just fine with Villapiano.
You know, he only had a couple rules, and the rules was be on time and play your hardest. So we knew we could go out and do whatever we wanted. As long as we came home and we got to practice on time, we were in good shape. It was a really, really crazy. I mean, the group of guys that was out there, we kept stretching and stretching and stretching, and coach just didn't care. as long as we played hard. But I'm going to tell you what, you f*** up, you're cut. And we all knew that. It was unbelievable. If you got in John's house, you're gone.
You know, I mean, the Raiders have always known to get players with a lot of different personalities and stuff like that, and cast off players from other teams and stuff that had issue with management. And we always thought, Al Davis always thought, and John Madden always thought, well, if we can get these players, let them be around our system, learn the way we like to do things, and they can adopt. And once players came on board, they found out the unselfishness of the organization, who didn't have a lot of issues personally, as long as you be on time for meetings, pay attention, and go like hell on time. You were given a lot of rope to you enjoy yourself off the field, and that's kind of personnel and kind of leadership the Raiders have for their culture and with their team.
Wide receiver Cliff Branch was one of quarterback Ken Stabler's favorite weapons. He had scored 3 touchdowns in the Raiders' first 3 games of that 1976 season. Close wins over Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Houston. And he knew they were in for a battle as they came to Foxborough for their Week 4 matchup.
I don't think we was overlooking the Patriots. I mean, and I was talking to Freddie Belinica. He said, we've always had a tough time with the Patriots back here in Massachusetts. He said, through the history of the team, we've never played well back here. And he told me that.
I don't know. I don't really know if we overlooked. I don't remember that. Looking back, I think New England matched up quite well against us. And we had some defensive issues with players that we had that had the need to be replaced. They just couldn't make any adjustments. In that game, the Patriots ran the same play all day long and just killed us and we couldn't fix it.
Logan calling signals. It is Andy Johnson, and he drives down, in, touchdown. Andy Johnson goes in from a yard out. Rogan fakes the draw, back to pass, looking for Francis. Nobody there. Now he shoots over the middle. He's open, touchdown. Darryl Stingley. Rogan is back to pass, sets it up, lets it go. Open, touchdown, Darryl Stingley. Rogan drops back to pass, sets it up into the end zone. Touchdown, Darryl Stingley. And the split backs on third down. Brogan sprints out to the right, going to keep it and go inside the 10, inside the 5. He's in. Touchdown. Play action fake. Brogan rolls to the right, going to carry it at the 10, at the 5. Puts his head down and goes in. Another touchdown for Steve Brogan. And the Patriots are just hammering the Oakland Raiders. The Patriots lead 41-10. They are absolutely awesome.
Oh, what a mashing. And that's a game where the Globe caught a great picture of Steve Brogan running naked bootleg, and there was nothing in front of him but green grass and white stripes, and it was like, holy smoke, this is a mashing big time in this heck of a football team, the Oakland Raiders. So the Patriots had put strung together wins against Miami, against Pittsburgh, against Oakland, and now we're saying, yeah, this team is for real.
The 48-17 blowout left a lasting impression on Gil Santos. Nobody has ever done this to one of my teams, said Madden. It made a believer out of Villapiano as well.
I'll never forget this game because that was the biggest eye-opener, one of the biggest eye-openers of my whole NFL career. When we went up to play the Patriots in your place, we go up there, and I'll never forget John Madden coming to me on the sideline and go, hey, Phil, you know the guy you're playing against is pretty good. I didn't even know his name. He was a rookie. So I'm like, f*** him, he's a rookie. No, I got him, Coach, don't worry about it. And it was Russ Franz, and that came off the ball like a Brahma bull. And I'm like, oh, my God. He had a great game against us. They swept us. They trapped us. They threw the ball on us. We couldn't, our offense couldn't win. The New England Patriots beat the shit out of us. And I'm going to tell you, in pro ball, when you get your ass kicked, at last.
When teams really start, you know, getting their stuff together, you can just feel it. And we went on the field knowing we should win this football game, you know, and take advantage of our fans. And I think prior to this, there wasn't a lot of sellouts, you know, and the fans weren't involved and the media wasn't involved and everything. So, you know, these 3 games were really critical to not only the success that year, but, you know, kind of the foundation for things going forward.
Well, I think that one sort of pushed us into a different realm where, you know, we're playing a team with this tremendous reputation, you know, the great football players that they had, the great coaching staff they had, and to be able to beat them so soundly was, I think, one of the really great moments. It was, you know, it was a beautiful day. It was just that everything clicked that day. You know, Grogan was unbelievable. the offensive line was unbelievable. Everything clicked, and it just gave our guys the second step in confidence that, hey, we beat the Steelers and the Raiders. So, okay, what's next?
Coming up, more of Rough and Justice, the story of the 1976 New England Patriots on 98.5, The Sports Hub.